And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to do our annual Christmas show. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, now, every year we've done the Christmas show, and we tackle the Christmas controversies. And, of course, we've talked in the past about, you know, where does Christmas come from? Is Christmas really a Christian holiday? Is it a pagan holiday? And this time of year, you always have those, especially now, those who get online and they want to tell everybody that Christmas is pagan and all this other kind of stuff. And we've talked about this in the past, and we've proven pretty decisively that Christmas is not really a pagan holiday. It is, from the beginning, a Christian holiday that you can trace back to about 199 AD. That's when the churches in the ancient world began celebrating annually the birth of Christ into the world. Then the question comes in, okay, what about Christmas trees and this kind of thing? And then you've had people who would argue that the Christmas tree is somehow or other an ancient Asherah pole. Now, the problem with that is, of course, as we've talked about before, the Asherah pole is not a Christmas tree. Doesn't even look like a Christmas tree. Anybody can go online, they can look at an Asherah pole. An Asherah pole is what happens when somebody carves an image into a tree to make it look like a god or a goddess. And that's how they create an Asherah pole. And they would keep those out in the groves and the woods and this kind of thing, and people would go out there and engage in idolatry. That's not a Christmas tree. Christmas trees don't actually show up until about the time of Martin Luther. Let's bear that in mind. And that's where you have the beginning of Christmas trees. In fact, according to one Lutheran legend, most Lutherans that I've read don't actually think it's true. However, it is a story that's told about Martin Luther, that he was out going for a walk one night, that he saw a fir tree covered with snow, and he thought it looked beautiful. And so he cut it down and he brought it home, and they decorated it and they put candles on it and so on. And supposedly that was the beginning of the tradition of Christmas trees. Now, of course, most people think that the story of Luther and the Christmas tree is more of an urban legend than anything else. But maybe there's some truth to it at some point. Maybe it was handed down by oral tradition. People just told the story about Luther, and of course, they would have made changes to it. Who knows? I mean, we can't really say. But the point is this. It's about that time period that Christmas trees begin to show up and to be normalized in the Christian world. So this is not a tradition from the old pagan world, having a Christmas tree, I mean. And still, there are some who believe that it was actually foretold in prophecy. If you go to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 13, where it says, quote, "The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box," meaning box tree, "together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious." In other words, it appears that God is saying that fir trees, pine trees, and box trees are going to beautify the place of the Lord's sanctuary. And where would that sanctuary be? Here on earth. How do we know? Because he says, "And I will make the place of my feet glorious." The heavens are God's throne, and the earth is his footstool. That is what the scripture tells us. So that's why I say, where God says, "The place of my feet," that would be here upon the earth. So there are some who believe that Isaiah chapter 60 is actually foretelling the use of Christmas trees as a symbol for the glory of God. And the details of all these things, you know, we've talked about in years past. This year, I want to shift the focus towards something, because there's another one of these anti-Christmas accusations that I saw here recently. And somebody had posted online words to the effect that if Christmas were really a Christian holiday, then the world would hate it. Okay, that the world would hate it. But the fact supposedly that the world loves Christmas, that supposedly means that it must not really be a Christian holiday. Now, of course, shortly after seeing that, then I get an email alert from the Gatestone Institute, and they often cover issues pertaining to Islam and the international jihad. And they've got an article here that says, "Jihad at Christmas, quote, coldly kill them with hate and rage." That's the quote. And they're quoting, of course, ISIS jihadis and their instructions to their fellow Muslims during the Christmas season. And if you study this issue, it is well known that the Islamic world, much of the Islamic world, hates Christmas, and that attacks against the Christian community increase during the Christmas holiday. In fact, this is what the Gatestone Institute, this article is all about. But let's just read a few headlines here. This one from the Daily Mail over in the UK. It says, quote, "Islamic State plotting Christmas terror attacks in UK and Europe." And that's December 3rd, 2020, this year. But this is something really that happens most every year. Here's an article from the Sydney Morning Herald, Sydney, Australia, where it says, quote, "Clock already ticking for Christmas and New Year Islamic State terror attacks." In other words, they're waiting for the Christian holidays, in particular Christmas. The clock is ticking. We're getting closer to Christmas now. So they know that Islamic terror attacks are going to be on the rise. Why? Because it happens virtually every year. Why? Because it's at Christmas that Christians around the world remind all the people in all the nations that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Praise the Lord. But that is a doctrine that is specifically rejected by Islam, specifically. As it says in the Quran, "It befitteth not the majesty of Allah that he should give unto himself or take unto himself a son." So they reject the idea that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is why they persecute Christians. And it's why at Christmas time in particular, they typically ramp up the terror attacks against the Christian world, and everybody knows it. No, it's not because they love Christmas, not at all. In fact, you have, let's look at the atheist side of things. When the atheists get control of a political system, you end up with communism in some form or another. Here's an article from a website called Radio Free Asia. They have a headline, quote, "China's ruling Communist Party bans Christmas, calling it spiritual opium." Spiritual opium. Now, this was from an article back in 2017, but the Communist Party bans Christmas. It says, quote, "The disciplinary arm of the ruling Chinese Communist Party has banned its members and government officials from celebrating Christmas, likening the practice to spiritual opium for members of the atheist party." That's what the article says. Does that sound like the communists who have persecuted Christians throughout the 20th century, who have killed millions of them, tens of millions of them? You realize most of the people who were murdered in the gulags of Russia were professing Christians. Many of the people who were killed in concentration camps during World War II under Hitler were professing Christians. Millions. 6 million Jews, 5 million non-Jews. And it stands to reason most of those non-Jews, you're in Western Europe. Who are the non-Jewish people going to be? They're going to be people who profess some form of Christianity. Here's another headline. "Why China's war on Christmas is gathering pace." I mean, if the world loves Christmas so much, why are the communists and the Muslims making war against Christianity, Christmas, and Christian people. Why is this such a big deal for them? You know, I came back here recently from doing a series of interviews with Brannon House over at Worldview Weekend on his Worldview Weekend TV program, and we did three shows on our new film, The True Christian History of America, and we had a lot of great discussions. But we went on for 3 hours, and we show clips from the film and that kind of thing. So look for that over at Worldview Weekend coming up. But we talked at one point about the phrase in our Constitution, in the year of our Lord. In the year of our Lord, which is the English translation of Anno Domini. And in the film, I interviewed Dr. Herb Titus, who is a Harvard-educated constitutional lawyer. And he says, yes, this is a statement of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over America, a confession from the founders that he is Lord over the United States of America. Here, let's listen to some of the audio from the film. Listen.
The fact that it says, in the year of our Lord, isn't that proclaiming the lordship of Christ?
Yes.
Over the United States of America?
Yes. He's the Lord of time. You know, if he's the Lord of time, it goes back to the creation account. God's the one who established time and space. Everything is answerable to the Lord. One of the purposes of the covenant is not only to hold the higher magistrate responsible, but to warn the lower magistrate not to act precipitously, but to be sure that their cause is just. Now notice what's interesting about the Declaration of Independence is they make the appeal to the Supreme Judge of the world. Do you know that that's directly out of John Locke's second treatise? John Locke indicated that anytime you go to war, there's one who judges the right and wrong, the one who judges the conflict, and it's the Supreme Judge of the world. Where did John Locke get that idea about God as the supreme judge of conflicts between nations? He got that from Judges chapter 11, but where Jephthah, the ninth judge of Israel, presented to God the conflict that Israel had with the Ammonites and said to God, you be the judge. So here in the Declaration of Independence, hundreds of years later, we're relying on that very principle upon which our forefathers relied. And that is, they took their case to God. They didn't take it to the International Court of The Hague. They didn't take it to some United Nations committee. They took it to God because they knew that God was the one who had authority with regard to conflicts between nations, and that you could trust him in his judgment.
All right, so that again was Dr. Herb Titus from our film, The True Christian History of America, which you can find at our website at adullamfilms.com. Well, anyway, this is part of what we talked about when I did the interviews with Brannon over at Worldview Weekend. And one of the things that I brought up is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, some people think, oh, that was just a formality. But the reality is there were other calendars that were discussed at the time of the American Revolution, and our forefathers chose to employ the phrase in the year of our Lord. Over in France, they did not employ that phrase. They wanted to get rid of that phrase from their documents. And so Brandon and I were talking about this, and I brought up the fact that when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was still alive, one of the notorious things she did was to remove the phrase, in the year of our Lord, from our Supreme Court documents. Now, I personally believe she should have been brought up on charges of sedition for doing that. Either that or she should have been impeached, one way or the other. But she should have faced consequences for doing it. Why? Because that is written into our founding documents. That's part of the foundation of America. And it's just one of many, many details that we give you in this new documentary. And many of you have seen it. In fact, we just got an email yesterday from Pastor Matt Truella, who's the author of the book, Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. He just saw the film and he sent me an email. He said he thought it was phenomenal. We got a great review from him. So we hope that if you've already gotten your copy, we hope you watch it. We hope you'll share it with friends. If you haven't seen it yet, we hope you'll see it soon, because it's very, very important. The principles that we're talking about in that film have everything to do with what is going on in our country today. And I believe Christmas, the Christmas holiday, is an opportunity for the Christian world to witness, to stand up and proclaim the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to remind the world that, yes, Christianity is the only true religion, to remind the world that 2,000 years ago, God sent his Son into the world to bear witness to the truth, to die for our sins on the cross. God raised him up from the dead so that whosoever believes in him will be forgiven their sins, will be separated from sin, and will have eternal life by faith in the Son of God. Praise the Lord. This is a great opportunity to remind people of the message of the gospel. And of course, this is why the communists and the Muslims absolutely hate Christianity. The idea that the world loves Christianity, well, they're probably, what they're referring to is the commercialization of it. You know, people going out shopping, spending money, this kind of thing. We understand. We believe that the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ should be the focus of the holiday. But it is also a time of celebration. And if we read the Old Testament, God has many times of celebration, many times of feasts and celebrating and giving thanks and praise to God for his many blessings, saying thank you to the Lord. That's why the Thanksgiving holiday is so important. And this time now at Christmas, to say thank you to the Lord for sending his Son into the world to save us from our sins. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So, in conclusion for this part, I would have to say, no, the world does not love Christmas in the way that some people assert. On the contrary, you have Christians who often in different parts of the world are suffering at this time. Why? Because persecution is usually accelerated by those who hate the truth, unfortunately. And we ought to pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world who are enduring persecution at the hands of Islam and at the hands of communism. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we are going to listen to part of President Trump's Christmas address to the nation, and what I believe is one of the clearest declarations of the gospel that I've ever heard from a president of the United States. When we come back, right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists, or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family. because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are doing our annual Christmas show. I wanted to read this really quick from the Gatestone Institute article. It says, quote, this month, Islamic State terrorists released a religious song for Christmas, quote, coldly kill them with hate and rage, end quote, taking the form of Islamic religious chant. The song, according to a report by the Middle East Media Research Institute, exhorts jihadists everywhere to murder non-Muslims, quote, pagans, atheists, and polytheists from, quote, West Africa all the way to East Asia through air, land, and sea, end quote. Published on Telegram, the post includes the hashtag Merry Christmas and a photograph of a Christmas tree with dynamite attached. All of that is what's reported by the Gatestone Institute. Okay, so that is one view of Christmas. Obviously, I mean, remember now, communism and socialism are running large parts of the planet. The same is true of Islam. I'm not sure how anybody could logically say that, quote, the world loves Christmas. I'm just not, you know, I don't think that's really a defensible argument if we laid out all the evidence. But now I want to play a contrast. Now, the other side, of course, if you are in a Christian country and you have people who profess Christianity and they love Christianity and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, then you might hear something that sounds kind of like the speech given by President Donald Trump with the First Lady Melania Trump at his side. Let's listen to part of it. I thought what he said was really, really beautiful. Listen.
Wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. For Christians, this is a joyous time to remember God's greatest gift to the world. More than 2,000 years ago, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. He said, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." The angel told her that she would give birth to a baby boy, Jesus, who would be called the Son of the Most High. 9 months later, Christ was born in the town of Bethlehem. The Son of God came into the world in a humble stable. As Christians everywhere know, the birth of our Lord and Savior changed history forever. At Christmas, we give thanks to God and that God sent his only Son to die for us and to offer everlasting peace to all humanity. More than two millennia after the birth of Jesus Christ, his teachings continue to inspire and uplift billions and billions of people all over the globe. His divine word still fills our hearts with hope and faith, and Christians everywhere still strive to live by Jesus' timeless commandment to his disciples, love one another. Above all, during the sacred season, our souls are full of thanks and praise for Almighty God for sending us Christ, his Son, to redeem the world. Tonight we ask that God will continue to bless this nation, and we pray that he will grant every American family a Christmas season full of joy, hope, and peace. on behalf of Melania and the entire Trump family, Merry Christmas to all and best wishes for a very, very great and happy New Year. Thank you.
Okay, that may have the, wow. That may have the military band that plays Come Let Us Adore Him. Beautiful, beautiful ceremony. I really cannot remember ever seeing a Christmas message or hearing a Christmas message from, and maybe there have been. Maybe other presidents have done as good a job or better. I don't know. But when I heard this and I saw it, I thought it's really a beautiful presentation, very, very traditional. And this is one of the reasons why I voted for President Donald Trump. Why? Because he honors God. He honors the Christian faith. Is he a perfect individual? No, but none of us are perfect. But nevertheless, he publicly gives honor to God. And I believe that a biblical argument can be made that when you have kings, kings like Nebuchadnezzar, kings like Darius and so on, kings who recognize the authority of God, and their kingdoms were blessed when they honored the Lord. In contrast, when they turn away from God for some reason, or they dishonor God, like Belshazzar in the book of Daniel dishonors God, then they face judgment. But it is important for a nation's leaders to honor God in public and before all the people so that the people are encouraged to walk and live in the fear of the Lord. That is a biblical standard we find over and over and over again. In contrast, now you have somebody like King Herod in the book of Acts of the Apostles, and he gives this great speech, and the people are cheering him, and they're saying, Herod, he speaks like a god, not a man, etc. And then the scripture says that because he failed to give glory to God, the angel of the Lord struck him, and he died. And unfortunately, because of communism and socialism and the influence of international Marxism, undermining God's authority is much of what they do. Trying to push for a secular humanist system of government throughout the world, which is what a lot of your Marxists are doing, where you deny God's authority, you deny God's involvement in the governments of men, and they're even teaching, of course, as we know, that supposedly it's here in America, it's supposedly against our Constitution for us to mention the Bible or to mention God in any government context. But ask yourself the question as an American, how are you going to have God-given rights without God? I mean, the Declaration of Independence says that our entitlements come from the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's the laws of nature and the creation, the laws of God in the Bible. That's what that phrase means. We show you that. We quote Blackstone, John Locke. We go over this from history, and we show you that that is and was the intention of our forefathers, because the principle was a principle that went back centuries before the American Revolution. Was based on Psalm chapter 19 and Romans chapters 1 and 2. It's a very direct and specific reference to the Bible. That's what the phrase laws of nature and of nature's God means. And then, of course, we have the declaration, the profession of Christ as Lord in the year of our Lord there in the Constitution. We have every reason to stand up for Christianity and the Bible in this country, in all areas of our society, including in matters of government. And I'm really glad, I'm encouraged to hear this profession from President Donald Trump. Now, I don't know what's going to happen here come January, how this election is going to play out. We've got to continue in prayer and lift these things up to God. No matter what happens, we know there's going to be a backlash one way or the other. We've just got to pray that the Lord will lighten our darkness, meaning that he will show us what to do when we need that information. We've got to plan as much as we can beforehand to just be ready for anything. Because, I mean, if something happens and it's determined that President Trump is going to get 4 more years, we know there's going to be a backlash from the left wing. If it goes another way and they try to put Joe Biden in as president, when so many patriots believe that Biden is a Chinese communist agent, and you've got military people like General McInerney saying, we are not going to allow this to happen, and veterans that are saying the same, what is that going to mean? We don't know. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer because all of these elements are coming together at this point in our history like never before that we've seen. But we, right now, we thank the Lord for his salvation. We thank him for the grace and mercy that we have through his son, Jesus Christ. And we thank him during this time that we remind ourselves, as we should throughout the year, of how God sent his son into the world for our sakes, that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That's our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys and Merry Christmas. And may the Lord bless and guide us in this coming new year.